There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
Give double thumbs up.
Two double thumbs up. That's so many thumbs. Well, they're kind of to one side.
They're a little
side.
Tilted. They could go either way, couldn't they? Depending on how this podcast goes.
Oops, looking good.
Looking good. Wait. Hey, what's that over there?
Can I look back?
Yes.
Oh, no!
Thumbs down. Now we're good.
Great.
Everything's good.
I like that jumper.
Thank you. You went to close the door of the man cave, Your man cave that we're in.
Not a man cave, regular
and
door.
And you've broken the door off it.
Yes, that's because that couch you're sitting on, which I moved in with my brother, which is enormous, the one that you like.
Great.
Apparently, we nearly tore the door off. So, but I fixed it using my skills.
We'll see.
I have a screwdriver.
We've yet to try and escape this room. We might be trapped in here forever.
My dad gave me a toolkit once. I think it's in case he dies. I don't know.
I don't think your dad will ever die. I've met him. He's sturdy like an oak tree, that man.
Straight to the news?
Yes.
Let's do it. Hugh Jackman has been doing the rounds for his movie Pan.
Charmingly.
Absolutely. Great bloke, terrible movie.
Mm.
We talked about that last week.
Yes, we did.
But he's been asked...
In fact, we interrupted the regular news just to talk about how terrible it was. Again, didn't hate it, won't see it again.
Yeah. Wait, I did hate it, and I won't see it again. Two opinions.
Twist.
Yeah. Anyway, people have been asking about Wolverine, how this is going to be his last outing in the Wolverine solo movie. And they're like, who should be the next Wolverine? And his response was, I think Tom Hardy would be a great Wolverine. Which is not saying that Tom Hardy will be Wolverine, because Tom Hardy's doing a DC thing at the moment as well.
Sure.
He's doing 100 bullets. And he was obviously already Bane. And that was.
Yeah, he's had his bloody bite at the cherry, mate. He's had heaps of bites at the cherry. Enough.
You don't think he'd be a good Wolverine?
No, I think he would, actually. Yeah. He can have as many bites of the cherry as he wants.
All the cherries.
Yep.
Until that cherry's just a pip.
Mm.
No, I don't think it'll happen, but you never know.
Hmm.
He's kind of stocky, like he's short and stocky, like Wolverine classic.
Yeah, and I get what. So, what's he sort of committed to now?
100 bullets.
Yep.
Mad Max, I guess.
Which is going to be one movie. I'm still not excited about 100 bullets.
How many?
One
you can't
movie.
Shoot 100 bullets in a movie.
Exactly.
Not enough time.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Bullet time, though.
That's right. Well, yeah.
Bring back bullet time.
Would you be upset if bullet time came back?
Oh, they'd need to give it another twist, right?
Yeah.
Surely.
Like curving bullets.
No, they did that.
Mm, maybe they just spiraled back and hit you. They kind of did that as well, though, didn't they, in Wanted? I don't know, man. How do you curve a bullet?
I think Wanted closed the book on all kinds of weird bullet geometries.
Okay.
So there's no more of that.
Everything's gritty and real now, man.
Yeah, true.
Curve enough.
We don't want to see bullets move.
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly. You don't need it. You know what I don't like? A close-up shot of like a sniper rifle and you see it kind of go into the chamber and then it like fires out in a slow-motion explosion and you follow the bullet and... like, because video games can do that now, so who cares? Like, I don't need to see that. I get it. It's a gun. Jesus. Next news.
Okay.
We just watched the first footage from Jessica Jones.
Yes, we did.
A little bit of a teaser.
Well, we saw some footage from Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't necessarily know that's her.
Nope.
I mean, we know that that's the character.
Yeah.
But we don't know. If, like, that could just be whoever was on set
could've
that
been
day.
Either of us.
In a wig.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see her. She wakes up at 3 in the afternoon.
Some kind of stupor, alcoholic stupor she
was in.
And
she crushes her alarm clock.
It's pretty good.
I do find it odd that she had the presence of mind to set her alarm clock for 3 p.m. though. That's weird, right?
Well, she got home drunk. Oh, okay. Presumably. Yeah, but that, I think it says a lot about the character in just that little bit. Like, you know, obviously the alcoholism and the kind of dysfunctional lifestyle and also the super strength.
Mm.
So that's, those are things, aren't they?
They sure are.
Let's move on to the
A lot of faith in the Netflix, that whatever the Netflix comes up with next.
Absolutely.
And which reminds me, I don't know if you're going to bring this up, but Black Mirror has been confirmed for 12 more episodes on Netflix.
Yes!
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's, yeah,
when
that's
it. Is that happening?
2016?
Okay.
That's quite
next
close.
Year.
Yeah.
I was like, boom. But then I was like, no, that's good.
But I also read that there's going to be an American adaptation of Black Mirror.
Hmm.
I don't know about that. That was on Wikipedia. I don't know if that's true. Yeah.
I'm not against it, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can work. Look, if it means the regular Black Mirror also exists. Also, I don't want the same episodes just redone.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do it, new ideas.
Yeah, but have you felt that so far? Because there's only been 7 episodes.
No, I mean in terms of if they're going to remake
American remakes
yeah,
of it. Okay,
it's
right.
It's the same thing.
You're afraid of Life on Mars happening all over
again.
I'm
afraid of Life on Mars. And the first season of The Office.
Mm.
And the Red Dwarf pilot episode they filmed.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Not good.
With Dax from Deep Space
Absolutely.
Nine.
Absolutely.
She was in it.
And the It crowd.
Craig Bierko.
I don't know that guy.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen it, I think the first 10 minutes of the American version of the It crowd is on YouTube. You can just track that down.
Oh, John McHale's in it, isn't he?
John McHale is in it.
That doesn't work straight up.
John McHale is in it.
I like John McHale, but that...
Richard Ayoade is in it.
Yeah.
And couple of other people, but it doesn't work on it. Like, it doesn't.
No.
They haven't. Like, I'm not saying an American idea of that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But the combination, like, I see why they didn't pick it up. Like, the characters didn't gel.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have Chris Morris as the insane boss.
They
had
a
pretty good boss.
Who was the boss?
I can't remember. Oh, Tony Danza was the boss.
Very good.
We finally answered that question. But like, it's sort of frame by frame the original version of that. But there's a scene in the British version where, what's her name? Jen.
Jen
asks the boss, oh, what kind of people will I be working with? And he just bellows out like an insane man, standard nerds! But that's not in. Like, this actor clearly doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So, and it none of it really
works.
Work. Yeah.
Oftentimes when they do remake a show, they'll do the pilot exactly the same as the first episode of the British version, just to see if it works.
Right.
Which I guess I can understand, but it's kind of dumb. Also, Crichton came over for the American version.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Drew Goddard, who's doing all sorts of cinematic things. He's back on the season 2 of Daredevil.
Oh, yes.
He wrote a bunch of Spider-Man stuff, including a Sinister Six script.
Ooh.
When Spider-Man was exclusively at Sony and not going to bleed over into the MCU.
Uh-huh.
All that was scrapped. All those Aunt May prequel movies and whatever else
sure, that's
were
a
planning.
Shame.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway.
The Sinister Six origin movie.
Exactly.
Well, they all get trapped in the lift and they end up at the bottom of Oscorp. Oh, I guess we'll put all these suits on, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look at me, I've got heaps of metal arms, woo!
Crime!
Hey, look at me, I'm old and a vulture!
Woo!
Crime! Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great if it was just the Sinister Six and then crime. That was the poster.
Yeah.
Woo crime.
Woo crime.
Mm.
So many arms up.
Anyway, Goddard's back.
Yeah, but he was...
In a big way.
He was basically saying that his version of the Sinister Six movie, which does include Spider-Man, was written that you didn't need to have any kind of the other continuity. So technically he's saying that that you could just plug that into the MCU
if you
wanted to.
Sounds like he's aiming for a second paycheck here.
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, if it's good, great. I'd see that. Mm. Would you see it?
I would say that, yeah.
Especially if they're just so for crime. All those women for crime. Great. The producers over at Sony, some producers were asked about what they're going to do with the Men in Black franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, the idea is...
Give it to Jaden Smith.
Please. They're going to reboot it.
Great.
Without Will Smith.
Okay.
As a trilogy.
Yeah, just immediately just shoot for a trilogy again. It didn't entirely work with the first 3 Men in Black movies.
No.
Try it again.
It only took you 13 years, maybe even longer, to get all those out. And they rapidly declined in quality after the first one.
Yeah, get the first one right. Come on.
That's the thing. Do you think it's a beloved enough franchise where people are like, yes, the Men in Black are back? When the enemy is near, the elite is here. So have no fear, Ed.
Is that Black Suits coming? Is that the second? No, nobody cares. Nobody cares about that.
Song.
It's not. It's not.
Nod your head.
Black Suits coming.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
Again, I would very much like to live, I've said this before, but I'd very much like to live in an alternate universe where Will Smith continued to write raps for all the movies he's been in since.
Yes.
And the album's called In The Pursuit of Rappiness. But that's never going to happen.
Do you think there will be another movie where he raps the thing?
No.
You don't think it's going to happen at least once?
Like
you'll get to maybe 60 and he'll be like, remember when I did this? And people will be like, yeah, we love Men in Black 2, the rap. It's the best rap.
You know what?
People will yell.
I think maybe he'll do one where it's a fictionalized version of him, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Like he appear, like he's in it, like a Matt LeBlanc extras kind of thing. Or
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll do, he'll add one in at the end and it'll be like a minute long.
Are you saying that's going to happen after his star has crashed back down to Earth?
I don't think Will Smith's star will ever crash back down to Earth.
He is hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Though he's not in Independence Day 2.
Oh, then it's, he's done. He's bloody cooked, mate. What are we talking about?
Men in Black.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Do we need to see another one?
No, look, I think
there's definitely potential to do good stuff there.
I think people were really keen on it after the first one.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's pretty good.
The first one's pretty great, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think the love is disintegrated.
What about if that, where it was leaked that they crossed 21 Jump Street open at Men in Black?
No.
I think that could be cool.
So Jonah Hill becomes
just
the man in Black?
Just nod your head.
Black suits coming. Okay, I'm in agreement.
Great. Speaking of black suits coming.
Yes.
It's rumored. We talked about Darth Vader. There's that rumor that he's going to be cloned and return in episode 7 or 8 or whatever that was. It's said now that Hayden Christensen is training up to return to Star Wars. They reckon he will. Darth Vader will be in the Star Wars spin-off movie Rogue One, which makes sense because he's still alive in that time period.
Yep.
It's just before A New Hope. But they're also saying, the rumor is that he's going to appear in some form in episode 8 with Hayden Christensen playing Darth Vader.
Ghost?
Well, that's the thing. Could it be a ghost? Could it be a flashback? Could it be a clone?
Yeah.
Could it be none of these things and this is all bullshit?
Yes, definitely.
So,
could it be that they're just throwing the idea out there
and see what people
and seeing what people want the most and then giving us the opposite of that because they hate us?
Do you think
about
it. It does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it?
They hate us. Yeah, yeah.
But to be fair, we deserve it. People attack George Lucas too much. Like, as a person, his character. Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about Star Wars or we're talking about franchises in general?
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Okay.
Anyway, George Lucas, the great man.
Yes. I want to talk about that later because it's going to come into my what are we reading. Oh. But do you want to see Hayden Christensen come back?
No, because I don't take him seriously as... I mean, I guess, but to what end, though? Like, if you see him as Darth Vader, he's got the helmet on.
Yeah.
And he's going to have James Earl Jones's voice, so it doesn't make any difference. But if we see... So he'd have to come back as a ghost, right? Or they clone him and he comes back as unscarred.
He's young.
I guess if they clone him, he comes back as unscarred Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. But I think...
I don't think I could buy it, because the dialogue was so bad. Like, his performances...
But the thing about that guy
is so embarrassing.
But he's not that bad an actor. He gets a bad rap, and I'm not saying he's the best actor ever, but I think under the right direction he can do. He's in Shattered Glass, which I haven't seen, but what I've seen of it, he's quite good. Mm. He's in another movie called Life is a House, where he's...
A house? Yeah, he plays a house.
He's pretty
That's
good.
Pretty good,
Real
yeah.
bloody wooden, mate.
Oh.
I mean, it was a brick house, but
yeah,
I can't remember.
But mighty.
Yes.
So, anyway, yes.
And he's not bad in that. It's with Kevin Kline. So I think if you put him in a real set and, you know, with a real director, no offense, George Lucas, but
you're bad at your job. That earned you billions of dollars.
Yes. And maybe it could work.
I'm not saying
I want to see it, but
I'm saying people will laugh in the cinema.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't know what's going to happen, I reckon they'll be like, oh, and I've done it. I've cloned him, Darth Vader. And they'll open the cloning chamber or whatever. And Hayden Christensen will pop out. And people will be like, ha, ha, ha. Oh, this isn't supposed to be a funny moment. Oh.
How many more of these movies are there?
All of the heaps. Yeah, so many.
I don't know. I just think it could work. I'm not saying they should do it.
What I'm saying is we should perpetuate a bad vibe about this whole thing so that whenever anybody who listens to this show goes into that movie and it happens, think bad thoughts.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
I'm up for that. Sigourney Weaver has had a cameo in the new Ghostbusters reboot.
See, Paul Feig said he wasn't going to talk about any of the cameos.
Yeah.
But I think he's like...
People hate this.
Yeah, people are sending him so much hate mail. He's like, all right, we're going to keep this a secret.
Yeah.
But Ernie Hudson, gonna be
Bill
in
Murray,
it.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd, now Sigourney Weaver.
There you go.
I can understand why he's doing it because I know Bill Murray agreed to do a cameo because he supports the director and he likes all the actors involved.
Okay, yeah.
So he's like, I don't want to be seen to be shunning this.
Right, right, right.
So that's why he did it. So maybe, I think a lot of this has to do with trying to get people on board. It's not working.
No, no. It will never work. We've talked about this before. There are a lot of people who are never going to get on board with this.
Yeah.
And that's whatever.
Who cares?
We're done.
It's going to be okay or
cameo,
terrible
Do you
or
think
great.
The cameo is that the new characters are going to switch on the TV and watch the film Ghostbusters in its entirety on the TV? Because I think maybe that's the only way that's going to satisfy some people.
But Bill Murray, like, they've all reenacted all the scenes as old they are now? Is that why they're getting them back? Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't understand why they don't just make this a sequel, though.
Well, maybe they've CG. Maybe they've reverse Ant-Man'd it and they've made everybody how they look now. In
Great.
The 80s Ghostbusters.
Great. I would love that.
Sorry, you were saying?
No, why don't they just... I don't understand why they don't make it a sequel. Just be like, yeah, all that exists and then Ghost disappeared or whatever.
Well, maybe it is.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Maybe it is. That was going to be my point, but you bloody stepped on it.
That's right.
Speaking of Sigourney Weaver's and her franchises, Ridley Scott...
here we go. Here we bloody go.
...said that there's still a few movies now between...
I've still got a few movies to ruin before I die. Me, Ridley Scott.
So before Prometheus blends...
I've still got some mythology to grind into the dust.
Me.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott.
Still got a legacy to pee on. It's me, Ridley Scott. Nah, he's all right.
Yeah, he's
fine. Good on him.
Well, apparently The Martian's great, but we'll talk about that next week. Mm-hmm. But. There's about like three or four movies that have to happen between Prometheus getting to Alien.
You know what I've just done there? As I've done exactly the same thing that like Ghostbusters fans/haters have done.
Yes.
Which is just for no reason, just slammed it.
Yeah, but Prometheus wasn't great, was it?
No, it was really bad. So I feel justified.
I mean, a lot of people love that movie, but...
No.
Yeah, man.
Who? Name one person.
Gary Busey. Wait, someone who loves it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Not just, one person in the world.
No, I'm sure there are. I mean, you know what? I like the world. I think it's visually spectacular and I like all, but yeah, the story's terrible.
And I like the main lady in it.
I like.
Whatever her name is. Rajin
Rooney,
something?
Rooney Mart? No.
We'll never know.
She was in The Girl in the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah. I think so.
It's not real name. It's not Rooney Mara.
I might be wrong.
She's got a silly name.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Well, I'll think of it in a minute.
You're reaching for your iPad. You're not thinking of anything.
No, I'll never. No.
Anyway, so what do you think about... So there won't be any xenomorphs. He's made that clear in this next Prometheus movie. But it will explore the engineer's planet, which is apparently called Paradise. And it's going to have like the proto-xenomorph return again, where it's, you know, the one that like burst out of a engineer.
Yes.
Even though they left that.
Even though we're like, oh, that's not quite,
that's not
quite what we wanted. And boy, this was the big finale and it's not what we wanted.
And also they left.
Naomi Rapace.
That's it.
Is
I apologize.
Name. Yeah.
And
Michael F. Arspender.
Yes, he's back as the head in a bag, in a duffel bag. I wonder how they're going to do that. Because if you recall correctly, listeners, a giant man with a white head grabbed Michael Fassbender by the head and tore his head off.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Naomi Rapace put his head in a little duffel bag.
Naomi Papoose. Put him in a papoose.
Yes. And they flew off into space, leaving that alien behind, presumably to die of starvation and sadness. So that means when they go to the Prometheus's planet... Oh, the big white-headed guys, the big muscular guys, there's going to be another outbreak.
I reckon they'll just straight up give him another robot body.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like on a big CGI conveyor belt. And they'll plug their head in and be like, oh no, what's going on? Oh, Michael Fassbender.
But here's the thing.
It's a bit of Attack of the Clones for you.
That's it. Yeah. Prometheus 2, despite having no connection to Alien as of yet, is going to be called Alien Paradise Lost.
Okay. So, you know what? I'm kind of back on board. Because I want to see the Engineer Planet.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Do you reckon it's going to... Oh, apparently it's going to be like a lush jungle world.
And I want to see Lance Henriksen again for some reason.
How would they work him in?
Don't know. I want to see Guy Pearce again.
He's dead.
No, but young Guy Pearce? He's... In a hologram?
Yeah, okay, fine.
I don't know. A clone?
I was going to say he's dead, but I don't think he's dead. Mm. You can't kill a hologram.
No.
Yeah. All those things are great.
Look, I'm just looking through the cast list, and all the good characters are dead. Idris Elba, dead. Other people, dead.
Dead, yeah. Guy Pearce? Dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. Good cast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, we've talked a lot of sci-fi this week.
Oh.
And The Martian is out next week, which we're really excited to see, aren't we?
Ridley Scott's return to form, so probably.
They say.
Who are these people, though? Did they like Interstellar? Critics.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. You liked Interstellar.
I didn't.
You didn't like Interstellar,
correct.
Did you?
Correct.
So we thought...
Oh, yeah.
This is a good week to talk about sci-fi movies. Now, we can't talk about all sci-fi movies because there's at least six.
At least.
And we don't have the time
for that.
We don't have time for that.
Don't have the time or the inclination.
So we thought we'd pick one or two of our favourites.
Oh, yes.
And talk about that this week.
Yes.
At great length.
Can I say, though, can we I'm going to see... This won't be, if we want to talk about two or three, yeah. These won't be my top three.
No.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, here's some movies we've talked to death in this podcast. Inception, that's yes. A favorite of mine.
Yep.
Not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Talking about it too much.
Yep.
Terminator 2, love it. Talking about it too much.
Yes.
That's Can't it. Think of any others.
So what are you going to talk about? Do you want to kick it off or do you want me to kick it off?
Yeah, you kick it off.
I mean, you already know this because you know me so well.
I said it before. I said, are you going to talk about Sunshine?
And yes, I am going to talk about Sunshine.
I said, we've talked about it before, and you said not at length.
I kind of
feel we have talked about it at length, but all right. Do you have a backup just in case? I'm like, no.
I do have a backup.
All right.
But I feel like we haven't talked about Sunshine at length.
The Matrix, I'm not going to talk about it at length because I've talked about it all
have
bloody.
We? I feel like we could do an episode alone on The Matrix.
Okay, well,
like
let's
the trilogy
that.
Of The Matrix. When they eventually announce a Matrix sequel or a new trilogy, which I feel like they'll probably do at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The Matrix rebooted.
Oh, hang on. My brother's calling.
Which one?
The one you like.
Great. Tell him I said hi.
Hey, man. I'm just recording the podcast with Nick Mason. Oh, well, they can't hear you because you're not on speakerphone. So... Okay, I'll put you on speakerphone. You're on speakerphone.
I've got nothing to say.
You're a fucking idiot! Oh, he's watching Batman Returns.
Huh.
Yeah. Why? He said, I don't know.
Kids love it.
Kids do love it. Oh, man, I gotta go. I gotta do this. Yeah, she's good. Thanks, man. Bye. It's my brother.
Great.
Little insight into our world.
You've spoken on the phone at least once.
That's right.
Weekly Planet exclusive. Okay, District 9, great, not going to talk about
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
But if people would like to email in and say, hey, maybe you should do an episode on these,
yeah.
Let us know, definitely.
I could talk about District 9.
Yeah.
The thing about Sunshine is, Mason.
Oh, yeah, all right.
It's incredibly underrated. And You know what? Every person who's watched it,
yes.
Who's actually contacted me and said, hey, thank you for saying Sunshine was a movie that you enjoyed because I also enjoyed it. That being said, there's probably a whole lot of people who watched it and in anger never listened to the show again.
That's right.
Contacted me.
Took the DVD out, snapped it in half, snapped their iPhone in half, snapped their computer in half, just in constant rage.
That's it. What do you think?
And then they're like, oh, I've got to go to an internet cafe to tell Mr. Sunday Movies that I hated his movie that he liked. And they go, and then it went in the internet cafe and then they thought about the movie again. They were so enraged that they snapped the internet cafe in half, the whole thing.
Did you like Sunshine?
Yeah, it was all right.
We saw it together, I think, probably.
Maybe.
From 2007?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Do you remember the story?
They have to restart the sun for some reason.
Yes, and apparently it's potentially a real thing that could happen.
The sun might go out.
The sun develops. Well, it will eventually. There'll be some kind of, I'm going to say nexus.
I'm against it.
What, the sun going out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be for it.
Okay,
I think nobody's going to be upset if you're against the sun going out.
Whew, relief.
But it develops like a miniature black hole.
Oh, yeah.
And it basically dulls it down. However many degrees, which means the Earth has gone into some kind of ice age and it's slowly dying.
So this is a prequel to the movie's Ice Age.
Correct.
Ice Age 3D.
Well, it's a sequel, but time is cyclical. So it comes around again.
Okay, yeah.
It comes around. Because it's set in the near future, maybe 10 years from now.
Oh,
maybe,
that's very soon.
Or something like that. So basically what it is, they send off the ship called the Icarus or Icarus to go restart the sun, which is basically...
That's a bad idea, calling it Icarus.
You don't call...
Is no. that is that referenced in the movie?
I don't think so.
That's weird. Because things did not end well for Icarus when he went near the sun.
No. Well, then maybe he shouldn't have had wax wings, the idiot. Mm. Was he also trying to restart the sun with a nuclear bomb?
No, he was just...
Just being a dickhead.
Flapping about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically the idea is they've got a giant ship, which is basically a huge miles and miles of solar panels with a bomb attached to it, a nuclear bomb, which they're going to shoot into the sun, and then they're going to fly back. And that nuclear bomb will restart the sun.
You know what they could have called it? Like, did it do well at the box office?
No.
I reckon they could have called it Shoot a Nuke into the Sun. Because sunshine, we encounter that every day.
Yes.
Like, unless you live... in the 30 Days of Night universe.
Absolutely.
By that I mean Norway or whatever. But how many times have you seen somebody shoot a nuke into the sun?
I haven't seen it many times.
They should have followed the snakes on a plane example and just said what happens in the movie.
That also tanked though.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
So I'm just saying. You're probably right though. That probably would have, more people would have gone in. So it's director Danny Boyle, who's one of my favorite directors. Good thing about Danny Boyle is he always does a different movie. I mean, all directors do a different movie.
Some don't. That's,
you're right. But I mean, as in, he tries like a different genre. Like you look at his, I mean, I'm not saying they're all amazing, but he's got a pretty solid filmography, but he'll do like, he did Trance, which I didn't love, but Trance is still interesting. It's about hypnosis and bank heists and whatever. And you got that one where James Franco has his arm pinned under a rock, and you got Slumdog Millionaire, which is like a...
See, James Franco has his arm pinned under a rock, but instead they called it, whatever they called it.
What is that called?
Something about... See, that's the thing.
27 hours?
Yeah, okay.
47 minutes, 14 days, 1 year, 10 months. I don't know. Something like that. You also did Trainspotting. You also did Shallow Grave. You also did The Beach, which a lot of people hate, but I think it's okay.
You're wrong.
You also did Millionaire.
What's that?
It's like where kids find like a bag of money. I think it's called Millionaire.
Is it a thriller?
No.
Is it a fun kids film?
No.
Is there a feisty dog?
There might be. Don't remember it too well. Anyway... I don't hate any of his films. Anyway, the point is he wanted to make a sci-fi film, right? Mm-hmm. And he wondered beforehand why directors don't usually make one of these. Like Kubrick only made 2001 Space Odyssey. Because apparently these things are an absolute nightmare.
We're not going to mention 2001 A Space Odyssey.
No.
Primarily because I've seen it more than once and I could not tell you what the plot is.
Monoliths.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Done. We talked about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, the first ship mysteriously...
It's so slow. Continue.
Yeah, the first ship. It is, isn't it? Mm. Mysteriously disappears. So they send another ship and they call it...
Sunshine. Sunshine ship.
They call it Icarus 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Might as well call it Titanic 2, mate. Yeah. What are you thinking?
And the idea is that is the last resources... left on Earth to be able to do this. So this is the last shot. So there's a crew of like 6 or 8, I can't remember. And it's awesome because it's like an international crew. It's not like all American. It's a great cast. You've got like Michelle Yeoh, you got Chris Evans, who's awesome in this, by the way. I'm pointing at you.
You were pointing dramatically.
That's why when Chris...
Chris Evans is good in stuff.
Yeah, but prior to that...
Yeah.
He'd done like Cellular and Fantastic Four and whatever, which I don't think he's bad in, but... when I saw this, and then when they're like, he was going to be Captain America, I'm like, that's great. He's awesome in Sunshine, the movie Sunshine, which I love. So, it's got the guy from Fear the
Walking Dead. I'm shouting it from the rooftops.
It's got the guy from Fear the Walking Dead. That you been watching any of that?
Nope.
People love it. It's okay.
Now, that's the prequel?
Yeah.
What have we said about prequels?
Garbage.
Yeah.
Some... You really, yeah. It's like a
really took the wind out of your sails there, didn't I?
It's got Cillian Murphy, Rose Byrne. Anyway, whatever. What do you like about it? If you like anything or remember anything about it,
boy.
Because I can talk about this at length. But I don't want to talk about it.
No,
for
that's all right.
Minutes.
I'm gonna wiki it.
I feel like
real,
you should say something.
I'm a wiki it real quickie. All right.
Okay.
Give it a quickie wiki. Am I right?
Yeah. While you're doing that, I can tell you.
Quickie wiki, wild. All right, tell me some facts about it.
I love the ship design. So like I said, it's basically a huge solar sail. So all the energy that...
Does somebody go space mad in it?
Yes, they do.
That's what I like. I like
a bit
of space
madness. So I guess we're spoiling these.
Yes.
They eventually catch up with Icarus 1. They find it, right? Mm-hmm. And they go on board and everybody's dead. And they're like, well, that's not good, is it? But it turns out the captain...
And somebody's like, hey, don't be too hasty.
And it turns out the captain of that ship, I shouldn't spoil this, skip ahead if you haven't seen it. The captain of that ship spent a lot of time staring into the sun, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, the way the ship's set up, it's got a whole lot of really interesting different rooms. They've got a room which is literally just a sun room, where it's just a big glass ball and you can just stare at the sun all
day. Mistake.
And it turns out that if certain people do this, are drawn to it and you go mad. And it's kind of implied that one of the crew of Icarus 2 is kind of going that way, but it's never, it never kind of plays out like that, because he doesn't make it that far. There's another room which is like a greenhouse room where so it's like unlimited oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
Oh boy, like that's the life.
Yeah, it's like a
sunshine. They should have called it unlimited oxygen. That would have really drawn in the bloody punters, mate. Oh, a movie about oxygen. Oh, there's a room with oxygen in it. Oh,
my favorite.
Oh.
There's like a hologrammy kind of room, mm-hmm. where they go to get calm and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's and you know what's good?
It's just got one of those comic books from the 90s, and you tilt it slightly. That's right. And you're like, yeah. Ooh,
look at that.
Hulk's coming right at me.
And like what I love about also the design of the ship is. In like the main room, there's not like when something happens, there's not like a big thing that says emergency, emergency. There's like a little red blip. And because they're all astronauts, they know what that is.
Yeah, sure.
So they don't need a big red sign that says
for the emergency. Audience. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's things like that, which I really appreciate.
After he completed the movie Millions, Danny Boyle was briefly attached to direct 3000 Degrees, a Warner Brothers project about the 1999 Worcester cold storage warehouse fire. So was he just going for like a movie... about hot stuff?
I guess so, yeah. Hot stuff.
Hmm.
I guess he was. Did that movie ever get made?
Well, the Wikipedia entry is red, like the link is red, so I would say no. It's probably okay. It's probably a stub at best.
Oh, yeah. A bloody stub, mate.
Coming next from Danny Boyle, lighting a match and then sticking it in the pack of matches so the whole match box just explodes. Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyles, yeah.
Real hot.
Yeah. And in the movie as well, they do a lot of... There's apparently rules for sci-fi where you have to cut outside a ship every so often because otherwise it gets too claustrophobic. And he pushed that to the limit. And I can't remember what it is. It's something like every 14 minutes. So he was like, bang on every 14 minutes. You cut outside, you see the ship, you immediately cut back
in. Interesting.
And there's not a lot of rooms with like windows. There's that one big sunshine room for crazy people.
Sure.
And there's like nothing else.
Again, mistake.
Yes.
So who set this rule? And are there rules? I'd be interested to know... if there are movies that have broken that rule and if people have gone insane and run screaming from the cinema.
That's a very good question. I feel like the movie Pandorum probably broke that
that's
rule.
That's all inside the whole
that's
time.
That's all inside
right?
the whole time. Mm. Yeah. That's not a bad movie, actually.
Is that... That's Ben Foster and...
And Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
And some other people, probably.
Is everyone crazy or made up? Who knows?
They're all made up and crazy, mate.
Yeah.
It's got a decent ending. The situation, I remember the situation of what that ship is in is interesting.
Yep.
The character twist isn't as interesting. That's what I recall from that movie. Also, a lot of this movie, like a lot of horror movies, because this does have a sudden horror twist in it.
Yep.
Where the captain of the other ship where they catch up in turns out he's been standing in his sunroom worshipping the sun for like 8 years. And he's like, the sun is a god and we shouldn't, if the sun wants to die, who are we to say that? We shouldn't.
I remember thinking at the time when this movie came out,
yeah,
maybe they should have screened their astronauts
sure.
for potential worshipping the sun.
Like characteristics.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the sun? They have to tick a box, one to five?
It's fine, no interest.
Yeah.
I want to marry it.
Yeah, like scrawled in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's odd. I mean, it obviously happened to him over time, but that's an odd...
I mean, if he came in the interview and he was wearing one of those three-way mirror things around his neck to get real tan.
Get real tan.
Those, you know?
Get real tan.
That's a warning sign. You got to look out for little warning signs.
Yeah, that's it. Little things like that.
Yeah.
But the idea was also that he was going to use light in horror the same way that darkness has been used. So when, you never really see the guy, the other captain, who's been like horribly disfigured by the sun because he's just been sitting in the sunroom for so many years.
Again, a mistake.
A mistake. And you can never really get a good look at him because it's so... because the light is used like darkness where it's like blinding in the sense you can never really get a good sense of it and it's really disorientating. And the movie, like two-thirds in, does go into this kind of weird kind of slasher direction.
It does a bit, yeah.
But I actually don't mind that. I think it's... And it's a shame that they spoil it in the trailer or that if you're still listening and I've spoiled it for you now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like you could have probably, maybe they put it in because they didn't want people to think it was just about people slowly drifting towards the sun. Which is good still, though. I'm all for that. No?
I'm a big fan of movies taking a weird 180 midway through.
I know you are.
Have we talked about this in the show?
Your romantic comedy idea?
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
We've definitely talked about it.
In real life, certainly. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I've just said that if I was some sort of movie producer, I wouldn't be one for very long because I would ruin everything.
Yes.
Like, my idea was for a film's going to come out. You produced a film, and every indication, like all the trailers and all the behind-the-scenes stuff and all the cast interviews, pitch it as a certain film, like a fun romantic comedy.
Sure.
But like,
it's Ashton Kutcher and Katherine Heigl or whatever.
But the viewer advice says, like, rated R for strong horror scenes, like the fine print.
That's all it says.
Yeah, that's all it says, and it's never mentioned. And then, like, you've got your quirky characters and whatever, and they're just trying to make it in the big city. And then, like, 10 minutes into the film, like, one of the characters shows up, like, just their head in a box, whatever, and it just takes a sharp
turn. It's like
turn.
The wacky best friend.
Yeah, the wacky best friend, exactly.
Maybe he's played a basketball match with Ashton Kutcher and talked to him about life and relationships.
Right, so all the trailers are like, oh, two people going to get together, or they don't get along. Like, and you see the entirety of this movie played out.
She's breaking her heel on her way to work.
Exactly. They're like, but then they have to work late night at the law firm to get the thing done and blah, blah, blah. But then they hate each other, but then they love each other, whatever. And you see the whole trailer played out, like the whole movie in the trailer. But none of that actually takes place in the movie. Like, it hard cut 10 minutes in. And
I mean, I think all that stuff should happen, but it all happens in the first 10 minutes. And then it hard cuts.
No, I don't think it should.
Oh, like at all?
No, at all. It's just all fake. That's all. The trailer's all fake scenes. Okay. Like maybe the first.
Like Fantastic Four. It's all fake scenes.
Yeah.
Hard cut to rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
Except this isn't rubbish. I didn't want you to think. Because I actually think this would be an amazing idea.
Yeah, but I've spoiled it multiple times now, so it's never going to happen.
That's why you probably love A Cabin in the Woods, I assume.
I did like Cabin in the Woods.
For that very same reason.
Yeah.
See, I showed somebody that and they were like, I don't like it because it takes a weird turn. Because it's like, it's kind of cliche. And I'm like, well, that's the point.
Mm.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, Sunshine's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And
for the sake of our friendship, yeah, it's pretty good.
And the reason also Danny Boyle said it was these movies are difficult for a couple other reasons. One, you need everything in the world to already be on the ship.
Yep.
Like, you can't bring in other elements or other characters unless you come across another spaceship.
Sure,
obviously,
yeah.
With a sun-worshipping maniac.
Yeah.
And two, he said, well, when you shoot it and then you've got like a 6 to 8 month wait while the special effects comes in.
Mm.
So he said in between, he probably should have started to work on something else or whatever to kind of clear his mind and then come back to it.
Okay. Did he feel he was too close to it?
I think he was. Yeah. But that being said, I think it's one of the, I genuinely think it's one of the best sci-fi movies there has ever been. I can understand why it didn't do well. I can understand why it's hard to market, but you look at the cast and I know the way it looks in the world it creates, and it is incredibly tense and claustrophobic, and it's well worth your dollar, Mason. Give me $1 and I will give it a copy of it to you on USB. A USB you have to return.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or, sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
How big's the USB?
4 gig.
What if I lost it?
That would be okay.
It's a pretty good deal for a dollar. I could delete Sunshine. Yeah, okay.
Put on the James Franco gets his arm caught under another thing.
Roxy Trapsy, would the you movie. James Franco's Roxy Trapsy, the movie.
That's amazing.
And the follow-up animated series. Where he makes friends with The Rock.
Rock, and voiced by Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Roxy Trapsy and bloody James Franco.
What's going on an adventure, Roxy?
Was Roxy Trapsy's name already Roxy Trapsy before he trapped him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, this is his first trapping of somebody, right?
That we know about, sure.
Okay, sure. Mm. I've talked
It's like Hook, Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Didn't have a hook for a hand.
No,
his name was just Hook.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, I was trying to think of another example, but that's the best example.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that movie. Aren't you glad that movie came out so we have that example?
That's true. Okay, so I'm never going to talk about Sunshine again.
Wow, least. Brutal.
Okay.
Good.
What's a movie that you like that we could talk about?
Well, here's one. It's a lower budget one. I've mentioned it briefly on the show, but not at length. Okay. Or maybe I have at length. Who knows?
Let's see.
You've seen it as well.
Yeah.
It's called The Man from Earth.
Yes.
Which is quite... It's from 2007.
Mm.
And it's...
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Same year.
Battling it out.
That's right. Yeah. To be the least seen movies of all time.
Oh, boy. Well, this movie actually was shared on like torrent sites and stuff.
That's true.
Like quite
a
lot.
Of a cult following,
and the... The director was like, good.
Because it was made for like zero money.
Yeah, totally.
Like it looks like he just filmed it, I don't know this, in his own house.
Potentially. Like this movie is, in a way, it's the opposite of Sunshine in that...
It's at night.
It's during the day.
Oh.
It's the same as Sunshine then. So this movie, it's not, you know, Sunshine is like, you know, solar system spanning and it's got spaceships and it's et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
This movie is set entirely in a log cabin.
Yes.
And it's almost entirely dialogue.
Yes.
But it is still science fiction.
Yes.
Which I think is... I think this movie gets a bit... It's quite philosophical.
Definitely.
One might say it's a bit wanky, but a little pretentious at times. But I feel this is an amazing idea... It's an amazing way to produce a sci-fi movie, knowing your limit with a limited budget.
Yeah, and literally no special effects.
No special effects, like two props, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Handful of actors who are very good, yep. I think.
A lot of like familiar faces of like, that guy's on Deep Space Nine or something
yes,
like
exactly.
that. There's a lot of that, yeah.
Oh, who is it?
That guy was in the
John Billingsley, yeah. Who is Neelix in Star Trek Voyager.
There you go.
Yeah.
That guy was probably in The Pretender.
Yes. the main guy probably was on The Pretender.
I don't know if he was. Mm. I might get that wrong. I used to like that show. Remember when he pretended to be a race car driver?
And then he was good at being a race car
driver. How do you walk into that? Just be like, I'm an international race car driver. Okay. Do you want to drive a race car? Yes, I do. The end. What was that show about?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Very short episodes.
Anyway, so go on.
So essentially it's set in this cabin sort of in the, I guess the Midwest of America or like the Colorado Rockies,
yeah, something,
it looks like,
something that. Like
that. Yeah. And it's about a guy called John Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a tip off there.
Spoiler alert for this movie.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert for this. Tell you what, quick recommendation if you want to watch a movie. Yeah, that it's if you want to see a sci-fi movie with no special effects and see how that turns out.
Yep.
Give it a quick watch.
Yes.
Come back here.
Okay.
Because again, it's available on torrent sites.
Correct.
Very easily.
Very easily.
Anyway, so basically it's about this man John Oldman. He's a professor at a local university.
Yeah.
And the movie starts when he's quit his job and he's just headed back to this log cabin to gather his stuff and leave town.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is his friends and colleagues, like a half dozen of his friends and colleagues, decide to, they're very surprised by this. They decide they're all going to travel to his log cabin and sort of talk him out of it and sort of find his reasoning for.
Because they love him.
Because they love him and they're a good bloke and he's been here for a long time and they like him.
Mm.
But then it's sort of, After this long period of...
He's not rapt to see everybody.
No.
Well, he's not upset, but he's kind of like, oh, I was hoping to kind of sneak away.
Sneak away, right. And so it seems like his relationship to them seems like they're more invested in it than he is kind of thing. And sort of after a very short period of time, after a bit of chat, he reveals to them that he might be able to live forever. He reveals that he was a Cro-Magnon man.
Yep.
And for some reason, not magical or you know, super science-y.
No. He didn't lick a meteor.
He didn't lick a meteor or inhale any fumes or anything or fall into a volcano.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's been alive for 14,000 years.
It's just genetically.
Just genetically, yeah, reason. Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And it's sort of... And so what he does, like what he's doing now is he's... People realize after like they spend time with him for like a decade and they realize he stopped aging.
Yeah.
And it's like, start asking questions. So he's learned to just move on every time kind of thing. And he sort of starts being like, imagine if there was a man who could be a blah, blah, blah. But then it's slowly revealed that
he's talking about himself.
He's talking about himself. Yeah. And because, you know, all these people, all these colleagues are from the university. Like there's a philosophy mate, there's a philosophy professor and there's a, you know, a science professor and there's a...
It's a real who's who of things I don't care about.
Nerds. It's a real nerd alert. It's a real attack of the nerds. But basically they all, like everybody sort of gets a turn to grill him as to how this could possibly be.
Exactly.
And like...
What were certain eras like?
Yeah, and what does he remember and all that sort of thing, you know? And it's, I think it's great because it's not, again, it's quite pretentious and it's very wordy. It's almost all dialogue.
Yeah.
No action.
There's one fist fight on top of a train.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's going into that volcano we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's sort of, and it's kind of, and I probably won't reveal any more of the plot than that, but it's not like... It doesn't delve into sort of cliches you might think of when you think of like a man who's lived for thousands of years. Like somebody points out like an arrowhead or something that's on his drawer and they're like, did you keep that from when you were, in the Cro-Magnon era? And he's like, no, I just bought it in like a junk shop. Like not.
Why would I?
Exactly. Why would I hold on to these things? I was just trying to survive this kind of era. Or, you know, some of it would be, you know, some elements are like, what was life like? And he's just like, I don't remember all of it.
I've got so many memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I've got 14,000 years of memories packed into my head.
Right, exactly.
Like, obviously, I'm not going to remember anything. And he's had multiple, well, it's implied that he's had, like, multiple children. And should we reveal?
No, let's not.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, I think we've left enough.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
But I think it's great. Mm. Again, it's wordy.
Definitely.
Settle in, don't be doing the ironing or something.
No. Me listening.
Yeah.
Watch out for that train fight.
Hell yeah. It's a good one.
You can't miss it.
Can't really miss it.
Great.
Yeah.
If you had to recommend one of those two, which would you recommend?
Man from Earth.
How dare you?
What would you recommend?
Probably that. No, they're both good. They're both good in completely different ways. Mm. But I would recommend Sunshine. Should we do one more or should we just move it along?
No, let's do one more.
All right. You got anything on the top of your head?
Let's talk about aliens.
Oh, I thought we'd save that.
Okay, let's save it. We've got a follow-up episode. All right, cool. We'll cut that out. Pretend I didn't say it.
Okay.
How about Source Code?
Yeah, I'll talk about Source Code.
Let's talk about Source Code.
Good. I was going to say Children of Men.
Let's talk about Children of Men.
Are you sure?
Okay, yeah,
over Source Code?
Yes.
All right.
You know why? Source Code's a little bit confusing and I have to think about it and it hurts my brain and it's late.
Well, I was thinking this week, I'm like, I think I might talk about Fifth Element. Then I'm like, I have to rewatch that then. I don't have time to rewatch it.
And you know what? I think these are all different genre-wise. Aliens.
Yeah.
Quite similar to Sunshine, if I'm honest with you.
They both got aliens.
Mm.
Wait.
No.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both got Sunshine. They don't though. Oh. Wow, those movies are mutually exclusive. That's amazing.
So Children of Men.
Yeah.
I think it's set like now. It would be, because it came out in what?
The deep, dark future of 2015.
Something like that, yeah. Because I think it came out in like 2004. It's probably the last good movie.
And you know that I love, we should definitely, I feel we should do an episode on movies set in the future, but the future's already happened.
Well, yeah, Back to the Future, two futures coming up.
That's like,
we're going to do a Back to the Future episode
October,
in like a
okay.
month. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I was going to say.
Free Jack.
So basically.
2008.
Johnny Mnemonic. I don't know when that's set. 2002, probably?
Probably.
Whenever they were able to strap computers to the heads of dolphins. What year did we do that?
Oh, I've been doing that since the 80s.
Yeah, just grab an Atari and just wedge it in there. Anyway, Children of Men, Clive Owen's probably last good movie, I guess.
How dare you?
I like Clive Owen
when
a lot.
When did Shoot 'Em Up come out?
Shoot 'Em Up's garbage.
Yeah, it is garbage. I wish Shoot 'Em Up were
good. I want it to be good.
Yeah, I really want it to be good. It's got Clive Owen, he's Charmer.
It's got
Monica Bellucci.
It's got bloody, what's his name?
Baby.
Baldy McSluggo.
Oh, yeah, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I shouldn't call him that. He's great.
Oh, that's going to get back to him. Somebody's going to add him into a tweet and add an audio clip where you call him McSluggo.
He's really great. I'm sorry. He's just a regular looking man as well.
Yeah.
And just when you're standing next to Clive Owen, I mean, you stand anybody next to Clive Owen.
They're not standing for long.
No.
Or punch him or shoot him.
Up. So, it's now, roughly.
It's 2027. It's
oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. It doesn't look like 2027.
But I guess in this universe,
nobody
cares about the future, really?
No. It's like just kind of everything's at a standstill. There's no innovation anymore. Mm. And it's kind of like, it's not a crazy out there future. It's just like, yeah, there's kind of moving signs on the sides of buses now.
Yeah.
And music's slightly different.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I guess
they've re-released the White Album on a different format.
That's it. And the idea is that
got to buy it again.
Yeah,
it's Men in Black.
Yes,
that's a minute. Yeah. Anyway,
I think it's about 20 years prior, roughly.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, 2007.
Ooh. Ooh. Common theme or common years? It's not really a theme, is it?
Nah.
A year isn't a theme.
No.
Except if it's like a birthday party. It's an 80s theme. Woo! These parties are terrible. Why do people hold them? Anyway. They are, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. 80s is the theme you put up if you can't think of another theme.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people always get upset if you don't turn up in 80s gear.
Mm.
It's like, what? Shut up. I didn't have a headband, all right? So 20 years prior, humanity had just stopped procreating.
Mm.
Some kind of virus. It's not really explained. Maybe it is. No more babies.
Mm.
So every baby that has been born is still alive, obviously, and there is nothing else. So you kind of get hints that people are replacing pets with like dogs and stuff and things like that. Like you see kind of billboards and stuff like that. They don't really drag it out too much. But basically society is just given up because they're like, what's the point? 60 years, well, a bit more. This is gone. We're all gone. And there's a lot of emphasis placed on celebrities in terms of youth. Like there's a famous celebrity jerk called Baby Diego, who is the world's youngest man. And he's like 19 or something like that. And he's just a prick. And somebody, you don't see him, but the movie kicks off where somebody
it starts off people. You've got a restaurant or a cafe.
Yep.
And everybody's looking at this TV screen of this news that the world's youngest man has been killed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a terrorism attack.
Terrorism attacks.
Yeah. Mm. And I guess so. There's two factions. There's the government, which is trying to suppress this
lousy government.
This freedom fighting force, who's headed up by Julianne Moore, who used to date Clive Owen, and they lost a child I guess 20 or so years prior. I don't even think related to this event. I think they just lost a child because it's not really...
Right.
I might be wrong about that, but she went off to lead this kind of resistance, this anti-government government force, and he just went on to be like just a bureaucrat, just a nothing level.
Just a pencil pusher.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But again, he just drinks. He's just like, who cares about anything, whatever. And she brings him back in. I guess we're spoiling this, right? Everybody's seen this. She brings him back into...
But again, if you haven't,
yes.
Pause, watch an entire movie, come back to the podcast.
I would say this is the most watchable of all the ones we've talked about.
Yeah.
Like, it's got the most mass appeal. It's the easiest to watch. I'm not saying it's the worst. It's not. It's great.
No, I think all these are good.
Yeah.
I mean, not Sunshine, obviously. But...
You know what?
Gotcha.
Children of Men might be better than Sunshine. I might, yeah. I probably enjoy them equally, maybe. Mm. I don't know. Anyway, Julianne Moore's group has come across this woman from Africa who is pregnant. Mm. And
Key.
Name, yeah. Yeah. And there's no explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about him and Julianne Moore getting this young lady to what's the group they're trying to get to? The future
bugger.
The future group or something like that?
Yes. Future. Human Project.
Human Project.
There we go.
Which is this rumored to exist, probably doesn't exist group, which is trying to kickstart humanity, which basically has all the world's best scientists in one place, and they've just been trying to solve this problem.
Mm.
And it doesn't come down to necessarily the government versus this group of rebels. They're both terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Clive Owen kind of ducking both
right, to
do what's best for this woman and her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And humanity.
Perhaps.
And both with both sides having their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they both want to use her for political reasons and whatever. It's amazing. It's got some amazing action sequences. It's a really kind of, like I said, it's a really realistic future in terms of there's not like flying cars and laser guns and whatever.
But there's a little bit of stuff.
There's a little bit.
You've got some of it is kind of outmoded though, like already. Yes. Like there's a if you remember Minority Report,
I do.
There was the touch screen
with the gloves.
And there's gloves, but there's a similar element in Children. I mean, I can't remember what the device is.
Oh, he's got a little holographic-y.
Yes. But of course now, you know, with Kinect and all, you can just
everybody's favorite.
Yeah. All that new thing Google is doing. That thing.
Search engines?
Yeah, search engines.
Reading our minds?
Yeah. Get your email on a computer.
What?
Yeah.
Through a dolphin?
Yeah.
Great. Right.
Since the 80s.
Since the bloody 80s. I don't know what else to say about this. The action sequence, though, there's that one particular action sequence, which is one shot where it follows Clive Owen through a war zone.
Yep.
And it's maybe 4 minutes, maybe? But it's really, really impressive. Mm.
There's actually, if you go on YouTube, you know, you've heard of it.
I know it. Google again.
Yeah, that's right.
They've coming at
bloody,
us.
Bloody again. There's a guy called The Nerd Writer, one word.
Oh, yeah.
And he has, he's made a video called Do Not Ignore the Background. And it's all about...
I put that in my watch list. Yeah.
And it's all about the cinematography and of Children of Men and like sort of background details you miss and stuff like that. And
things you missed.
Oh, that's something you could look into doing something like that.
I could,
but it's kind of like the cinematography is great, and it's like it's you pick it up when you're watching it, but you don't really think about
no.
it.
No,
but it's sort of there's this element of like the camera lingers on background details that it finds interesting, kind of thing. Like you're following Clive Owen's sort of journey, but then he'll go out of shot, and the camera will linger on like you know people in detention or they'll criminal detention, not school detention.
Sure.
That would be weird.
There are no schools.
Yeah.
All the schools are closed.
Mm. Anyway, that's great. You should check that down
absolutely.
On YouTube.
I'm just looking at the, Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
And did he do a Harry Potter? He did. He did Prisoner of Azkaban. He also did Gravity, which I don't love.
Which one's Gravity again?
Sandra Bullock's in space. She's like, George Clooney, help.
I preferred that to Interstellar. That's How about
fair.
That?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Gravity looks great and is an amazing technical achievement of technicality.
Yeah. Like they switched off the gravity.
They certainly did. But it's a lot of Sandra Bullock explaining her thoughts and what she's going to do as she's doing it.
Uh-huh.
And that annoys me. Show, don't tell, man. Alfonso Cuarón should know that more than anybody because he made 2006's Children of Men, which is the year it came out.
Yeah.
Because I looked that up.
Nice. We're professionals.
I don't know. What else do you say about Children of Men? It's good.
It's real good, man.
Watch it. Tell your friends. Tell your children. Tell your men. Tell your women. Might edit that out.
Nah, leave it in. Leave the silence in as well.
That's it.
Whoa, we did it.
I'd love to do this again about different movies.
Me too. But that's all the movies. So... Bugger.
Next week, though, I'm looking forward to talking about The Martian. You looking forward to The
Martian? Me too, yeah.
So.
See, that I don't know. It's The Martian seems like the movie I wanted Interstellar to be.
Sure.
Like a movie set in space, but it looks like it's kind of fun. I'm having a bit of a romp, you know? I'm trapped on Mars, but I'm having a bit of a romp.
Sure. Did you think Interstellar was fun at any point?
No. No, it was harrowing.
It was very harrowing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Everyone's sad.
There was that robot.
Everyone's sad and dusty. Ooh, don't like it. No, they're my least favorite emotions. Sad and dusty.
You're the bloody Anakin Skywalker of this podcast.
Mm, yeah.
Fan bloody
tastic. But then again, that's my two favorite aspects of like country music singers. Sad and dusty. Great.
Good stuff. Well done. You know what it's time for then?
Whoa, what we reading?
What we gonna read?
Ah, theme song.
I'm doing a theme. What are you bloody reading?
I'm bloody reading. I'm going to watch this week. I'm going to watch Sicario.
Okay.
Which is the film with Emily Blunt and other people.
Yes. Giovanni Ribisi.
He's not in it.
Benicio Del Toro.
That's the one.
Clive Owen. Mm. I forgot to mention Michael Caine's in Children of Men. He's really good.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And he based his performance on John Lennon because he knew John Lennon at that. They were friends. John Lennon was a bad parent.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah, I've heard. Oh, yeah. Bad guy generally.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Sicario. What appeals to you about Sicario, the movie?
I'm told it's very tense and it looks tense. Just watching the trailer, it looks...
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember that movie with Jennifer Garner and Jason Bateman and a few years ago? What was that called?
I was going to say Green Zone, but it's not Green Zone. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think Jamie Foxx is in it as well.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And it didn't really sit very well with me, I remember.
How do you mean? You found it... Did you like it?
I found it really heavy-handed and dull. So
okay.
That's what I remember
about it. So you found it bad, is what you're saying?
That's not the word. Sure. I don't remember it enough to say it was bad.
Okay.
It tried to be kind of even-handed, but I didn't really find it that way.
Oh, did you feel it was a bit gung-ho?
Right. It wasn't just that. I don't remember it well enough to even to comment on it. You know, it is a great one.
Maybe shut your bloody mouth then. It's all right.
You know what is great? Three Bloody Kings. That's a terrific war movie.
Yeah, okay. But I don't... See, that's one of those movies that the trailer led us down a different path.
You thought it was going to be a wacky...
Thought it was going to be a wacky romp, but it wasn't.
Dust and sadness.
Dust and sadness.
There was a bit of wackiness in it, but that movie speaks volumes about many periods in time, including both wars in Iraq, despite being made before the second one.
Huh. The Kingdom is the name of the movie you're thinking
of? That's the one, yeah.
So you're saying Sicario looks a little bit like The Kingdom?
I'm not saying it is. I've heard it's okay.
I think thematically it looks to be the same in terms of it's like, here's some people who are getting in way over their head.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was The Kingdom about?
Pretty much that.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about drug cartels and
drug cartels,
like that
and
all that bizarre.
Do you feel you're overloaded with that after watching a lot of seasons of Breaking Bad?
No. I think, you know what, Breaking Bad's kind of the only real drug cartel kind of thing that I've... off the top of my head that I enjoyed.
There's a Netflix series called Narcos, which is apparently very good. People have been recommending that to me.
It's got the dude from Game of Thrones, so...
Joffrey.
Yeah, Joffrey.
He plays Hodor.
Hodor, yes. You know your GOT.
Boy, do I.
Well, when are you going to see that? Maybe we'll see it together.
Maybe we'll see it together as a team.
Great.
Like we did with Pan. Set a grand tradition. Yeah.
What Time Reading is a very interesting book about the rise of the Star Wars Empire.
Are there any good movies coming out in the last...
Hunger Games.
Yeah, okay.
Children of Men.
No.
You can watch that, though. I'll give you a USB. Do you have a dollar?
Okay. Didn't I give you a dollar before?
Yeah. What else is there? There's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
There was going to be a Mission Impossible movie, but they moved that forward 6 months.
Oh, we've seen that already.
We have already seen it, yeah. I'm sure there's something.
Yeah.
It's...
Is blockbuster season kind of
Spectre!
Over?
Spectre!
Spectre, there we go.
There we go. Right. There's some exciting things.
Excellent. There
Normally we get a bit of resurgence in like late October, November, and then something comes out in December. And then in between, a bunch of other crap comes out.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Boy, does it.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Sorry, you were saying.
I'm reading this book called How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, which is basically the rise of the Star Wars Empire. It's mostly
a financial empire.
A lot of merchandise empire. Yes, there's a lot of that. It's basically a kind of, it's a look at everything you could possibly want to know in terms of not only like how the films were made, but how George Lucas started, but also like the toy empire and the video game empire and the expanded universe and how Star Wars had a lull in the 80s. And then George Lucas had the foresight to go, you know, we'll wait until the 90s. And then the people who watched it when they were kids, they'll have kids and then I'll bring it back and everybody will love it and whatever. And how it doesn't paint him in a terrible light. It paints him in terms of, he is a control freak and he does like to micromanage, but he's not a bad guy.
Right.
You know what
sure.
I mean? He just has trouble letting go of certain ideas and he also has obviously trouble working with actors. The most telling of the ones that worked out well being the first Star Wars A New Hope, and which he renamed, and Empire Strikes Back, is because he had so much interference and he had so many people to bounce off and he had to compromise.
Sure.
And then by the time you get to Return of the Jedi, the author makes a real point of, we just talked about Star Wars, I shouldn't be talking about this again. The author makes a point that he hired this kind of yes man director who didn't really contribute anything to the story, except he just went, whatever you want, George Lucas, I will do. Which is why Return of the Jedi, which I don't hate, is kind of the way it is.
And then clearly Lucas got a taste for it.
That's right.
Of yes man.
Yeah. And it even, I'm up to the point, I'm not through it yet, where he hires Rick McCullen, who became George Lucas's yes man. And it talks about through all the...
His little... What's that guy?
Yoda.
No, Jabba the Hutt's little friend.
Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb, there we go.
That's right.
That's the international symbol for Salacious Crumb. A little man by your leg.
A little gibbering idiot.
Yes.
And Rick McCullen is a great producer in the sense of, and they say this in the book, that whatever George Lucas needed to do, he would get it done.
Okay.
Like, he can do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why George Lucas loved him, because he'd be like, I want to put a CGI Jabba the Hutt in whatever, in the re-release of Star Wars. And Rick McCullen's like, yep, let's go, done, let's do it. And he'd make it happen.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting.
So is Rick McCullen just good at yelling?
Yes, I guess. Oh, no, he seems fairly even-tempered. He's really good at just...
No, I just mean enthusiastic yelling.
I'm sure he's really good.
Because that seems to be the only... What you're saying there is George Lucas was like, hey, we need a CGI whatever. And he's like, okay, hey, everyone.
You know what?
Is it just George Lucas is very quiet?
You're not wrong. They do mention that he acted as his mouthpiece, because George Lucas doesn't... He's not, yes, exactly. He's not a great kind of people person.
Right.
He likes people and he's a great humanitarian, but he's not kind of good. He's not comfortable in kind of social situations.
Hmm.
Like, he's developed it more so, but he didn't like the fame that came along with Star Wars, like even like straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's a really good read. And if you like books, Mason, I'll give it to you on a USB.
Yes.
Digital.
Just stack it on that. Oh, okay.
Bloody stack it up, mate. Well, I guess we should talk about our letters this week.
Oh, letters theme.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
I've got a what we read in here.
I'm ready.
From Patrick.
Okay. Hi, Patrick.
Who wants to be the official Terry McGinnis of the podcast.
Done.
Locked in, mate.
Future Batman.
Hey, James. Hey, Nick. I recently found Action Comics Volume 1 online and read that, despite the fact that it was written in 1938. Which is a real dumb year. I guess so.
He ain't wrong. What was happening then? Wars? No.
Not yet.
Boring.
It's actually pretty pretty good, with some almost progressive views, brackets, assuming everyone in the 30s was sexist. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever read it, but here's a link, you know, just in case. So basically saying that, yeah, I guess that would be a good read, wouldn't they? Like, going back to check out those original kind of Action Comics. Those
There's
Superman
a certain
era.
Window of good stuff. Out there, isn't there?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're saying this isn't it?
No, I don't mind Action Comics number one.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Sure. Mm. I mean, it's certainly an insight, isn't it, to the beginning of Superman's.
You are not wrong, because it is literally the beginning of Superman's.
That's great. Keep up the good work and don't be dicks. All right,
fine. God.
You got a letters theme for this week?
Yes.
So every week, how does
yes.
this work?
Every week you refuse to... edit in a letters theme.
I refuse.
Thank you.
You paused for that now. So I can do it.
Because it's a bloody thing now.
It's a Pavlovian response.
It is. So I would like the listeners to perhaps compose their own theme music.
Oh.
To a theme, or maybe freestyle. And then what you do, put it, upload it to YouTube.
Yes.
Tweet the link to me.
Yes.
And I will play it through my phone.
Use bloody phone, mate.
Give me 1 second because I have one ready, but I can't remember who sent it to me.
Or why.
Yeah.
Well, while you're looking for that, if we're doing The Martian next week, often we'll ask for themes.
Yes.
Like a certain style.
Uh-huh.
Do we want a kind of, how about a 1960s kind of space?
Yeah, something with a theremin in it.
Sure.
Bit of that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Imagine Spock trying to read somebody's mind in a teleporter while tumbling through a black hole. Something like that.
Yeah, at least think that, but bigger, you know? Bigger and more stuff. Edit some of this out, but not all of it.
I'll edit some of it.
Oh, here it is. Dennis Alonso.
Thank you, Dennis.
A letters theme.
In a world full of Weekly Planet fans, one inbox holds the key to our questions. But now, it's time to read them. Starring James as Mr. Sunday and Nick as Mason. In the romantic comedy of the ages, get ready for... letters.
Ah, very good. Loved it.
A cappella, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. So if you want to, he's got a good voice.
Yeah, I know, right?
That dude from Screen Junkies Ever Dies. Get into it, which we will talk about in a minute. In 1 minute.
What are you talking about?
Hello. My roommates and I just threw an under-the-sea themed party at our house.
See, there we go. Good themed party. Big under the sea.
Exactly.
Unless it was under the sea in the 80s, in which case...
I, of course, dressed as Aquaman. One of my roommates, Nikki, is from Australia, and she's contributed two things to the house party, goon punch and fairy bread. They both seemed very suspicious, and I wonder if she was trying to trick us silly Americans into consuming ridiculous things. Can you confirm that these are actual things in Australia? Thank you, Joe, a.k.a. the official Lionel Hutz of the podcast.
Yes.
Both of those things are
both
real
of those things are true. Goon is really cheap wine in a cask.
It's in a, yeah, so.
But it's in like.
It's in a cardboard box, and inside that.
A box of wine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Inside that is a, I'm sure they have these in the States, is a silver bladder.
Yep.
Which holds the cheapest wine you can imagine.
Yeah.
But you can often mix it into a punch and make it slightly drinkable.
Yeah.
And also.
Or you can play the game Goon of Fortune.
I was going to say, have you ever played Goon of Fortune?
Where you get a whole bunch of them and you close peg them to a washing.
To a spinning washing line.
Yeah.
They're called Hills Hoist in Australia.
I don't know what they call it in America.
Washing lines.
Yep.
And then you spin it.
Yep.
Like the Wheel of Fortune wheel. Mm-hmm. And whoever it lands on has to drink it from the clothesline.
Yeah.
I was playing that once.
Uh-huh.
Only one time. It was as I was leaving uni. I think it was one of the last parties. And it landed on me and I went, you know what? I don't have to do this.
Wow.
So I just walked away.
Our little guy's growing up.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And fairy bread is just bread with sprinkles on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
You ever played Goon of Fortune?
No.
You ever played fairy bread of fortune?
Yeah.
Do you like fairy bread?
Yeah,
it's
love
really
it.
Good.
It's so good.
It's really bad for you though.
Don't care. Look at me. Do you think I care?
You don't look like you care.
No.
Okay. Hey, James and Meso. Love the show and I've listened to all the episodes that we know about. I was wondering if you two...
Except for the ones we lose.
Yes.
You haven't listened to those.
I was just wondering if you two had seen the Wachowskis' Cloud Atlas. If you haven't, you definitely should. I'm no apologist of the Wachowskis' recent filmography, but despite some questionable makeup choices for Hugo Weaving, I think this is a really good movie. On this note, I thought maybe you could do an episode on the best movies of the Wachowskis. I guess we just talk about the Matrix.
Matrix, yeah, just talk about the Matrix.
As ever, keep up the good work at Grab That Gem. Chris O'Reilly from Leeds, England.
I've not seen Cloud Atlas.
Me neither.
Doesn't Tom Hanks yellow face it?
I think
at some
a few
point?
People do, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess not enough people saw it to be upset. That movie costs so much money. It's apparently an unfilmable. Well, it's a book. That
well, I bought the novel and I didn't get through it.
Because so. It's unfilmable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Once I was watching something and I fell asleep and because it was on a hard drive and then Cloud Atlas started and I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I had no idea. Like, I'm just like, what world is this? What is the future or Hugh Grant's in this? What? And it's Cloud Atlas. I do plan on going back to it because I've heard there is a lot of merit in it.
Okay.
But,
I recently watched some of Speed Racer on Netflix.
And?
I didn't like it. It's no good.
Too many green screens?
Look, I understand.
Too many Matthew Fox.
I totally get if you were on a lot of drugs, you could just watch it and be like, oh, like if you're on like MDMA or anything or something. Mm. Don't do that though.
No.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs. But if I did, I probably wouldn't watch Speed Racer.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something better you could do.
Mm.
Like stand near a hospital just in case. Be responsible.
There we go, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So you go.
Have your Bible ready.
Have it bloody ready. Great. Hey, guys. Last letter. I'm listening to your podcast every week, and I must say, it is the best. Do you like anime? I'm asking this because there is a rumor that Christopher Nolan will make a live action Akira trilogy. I know your opinion on this. Did we say that? That's the rumor anyway, that Christopher Nolan is going to make Akira. That's going to be his next project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You excited for that, if that's a thing?
Is that his first
movie? No, he made many movies.
Thank you. Finally, a straight answer from this. Besides Batman, has he done any licensed stuff other than that?
Let me think. Magician Fight. He did Inception. He did Interstellar. He did Insomnia. He did Memento.
Right, because he's done Batman. He hasn't done
a straight up adaptation of Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's done some original stuff around that kind of thing. So this would be his first time adapting.
Do you think he would just adapt it straight? Or do you think he'd be like, I'm going to Christopher Nolan this?
I think he's going to Christopher Nolan it.
Do you think maybe... Do you want a straight adaptation, though? I mean, it already exists.
Well, I just went trilogy, but I think that's just my reaction to trilogies.
Sure.
I think that's the way you're going to go. Akira the animation, and we could have talked about this in Best Sci-Fi, because I really enjoy the original Akira.
Animation. Yeah.
It's quite amazing that they packed the thousands and thousands of pages more or less into one movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's some elements, like... Well, there's quite a lot that they did cut out a lot. I'm an idiot. Yes. But
you are.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm an idiot. But there is so much of the first few Akira books that are just in that.
Yeah.
The animation sort of stops the story dead at a certain point.
In what sense?
Well, we can spoil Akira.
Yeah.
In the movie, Tetsuo is looking to find Akira, and he wants to find him and et cetera, et cetera, defeat him or
Shakira.
Join up with him. Yeah, Shakira.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good pull. That rhymes. And in the movie, basically Akira returns, like Tetsuo goes to like a secret facility and he finds that Akira like had become pure energy, like he evolved into pure energy and all that were left were some of his organs and bits and pieces.
And he was pretty happy about it.
Yeah, no, he's bummed about it. It's like, oh no. But then Akira returns and sort of destroys the city. Anyway, Akira comes back and he sort of destroys the city again and turns the whole world into a concept or something. I don't know what happens. But in the manga, the original comic book, Akira and Tetsuo, Akira comes back in like physical form and they sort of rule the city together for a while.
Cool.
For quite a while.
Why didn't they do that?
Too long.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Just have a monster.
Have a bloody giant monster man. Exactly.
Yeah. You like it, obviously.
Yeah, it's really good, yeah.
Are you an anime fan? I'd like to do an episode on it. I feel like I don't know enough about it.
We mentioned anime many episodes ago, and a lot of people, and I said, can people send me some good anime to...
Attack on Titan?
People recommended that. Watch a little bit of that. A lot of people recommended Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes.
Watched the first episode, wasn't on board with it.
Oh.
In your
face, millions of people
That's
who love
right.
that. I mean,
yeah.
millions of people don't listen to this, but tell
But
tell
if you
people.
Can spread the word that we said that it's, hey, this guy you don't know, he doesn't care for it. But I don't know, maybe I wasn't in the mood. I only watched one episode.
Evangelion, apparently amazing.
I quite like that, yeah.
The Boons.
That ended weirdly as well.
Yeah. I need to watch some stuff to talk about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And
we can do that.
I have not watched enough stuff.
Evangelion I liked a lot, but it did end in an episode, like, because it's, you know, it's giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Sure.
And the final episode basically takes place in a little kid's head, and it's just all white rooms and people going, who am I really, kind of thing. It feels like the budget ran out. And people were very unhappy with that, so there was like a follow-up called The End of Evangelion where basically the whole world was destroyed.
Okay.
It's like, how do you like it now?
who did it turn out they were really, though?
I can't remember.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, also...
Probably aliens or something.
do you know about... what do you think about Dragon Ball Evolution? Did you see that movie? Live action movie?
No, I did not see that movie.
So
no.
terrible.
Great.
Like,
Oh, thoughts on Akira. So, Yeah, I knocked back the trilogy, but I think trilogy is probably the way to go for this if you want to get more of the story.
Yeah, sure.
On board. Because, again, if we do a straight adaptation,
yeah,
the same but live, people will be like, well, it's no, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they just draw up from the source material more than so the original, I mean, from the animation.
I want the storyline to be the same. I just want more of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
More Shakira. They were making
a few years ago.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That Kristen Stewart was cast in it. Chris Evans was in it.
Zac Efron was going to be in it at some point.
I believe so, yeah. I think also Joseph Gordon-Levitt, maybe? I might be wrong.
Well, now he's definitely in it.
Sure,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
He'll be...
Tetsuo?
He'd probably be Tetsuo, now that I think about it. Mm. Wouldn't be Kaneda.
Hardly.
Yeah.
He wishes.
Yeah.
Also, do you guys know what the latest Otis trailer, Epic Voice Man says, grab that gem. Crossover maybe? It'd be great if you guys went on movie fights. We get tweeted this a lot, and I know that those guys get tweeted a lot.
Oh boy, do they.
Actually, I've been in contact with that guy, the guy who runs it.
Andy?
Andy, yeah.
Andy Signore.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He said, look, if you're in the country, we should
Yeah, look, how about we make this promise? If we're ever on the same continent, we will make it happen.
Definitely, yeah. Because they seem like super nice guys.
Yeah, and, but I feel, I mean, this was mentioned to us a lot.
Yeah.
We would like to do it, definitely.
Yeah.
It would be great.
Yeah.
But I feel, and we've brought this up, that...
We get killed.
Well, that's...
Because.
Yeah, that's good because we're bad at everything, but also because it's difficult to have an argument over Skype. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that.
Oh, if we did it like that, yeah. But I feel like as well we'd go on it, and if they were like, I think this is the best Indiana Jones movie, I'd be like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you've raised some really good points, if I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but even if we're like super fired ourselves up for it, it doesn't work over
Certainly
Skype.
Doesn't.
If you ever try and have some sort of fiery debate over Skype, it's all like, so I did.
Wait,
are you? Okay, you go.
Where?
Yeah. Right, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they know that as well. Mm-hmm. So if we're ever, one day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe next year.
Ooh.
Maybe the year after.
Ooh.
Yeah. You prefer 2017?
Yeah.
Got more of a reaction. Anyway, that's the end of the show.
We did it again.
Where can people find us?
Ooh, Weekly Planet Pod on Gmail and Twitter and Facebook and Bandcamp.
And also follow The Weekly Planet, which is a good thing to follow.
Absolutely, at The Weekly Planet
Twitter. Roy Collins is crushing it. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
Absolutely.
What else we got? Anything else?
Did we say the Bandcamp stuff?
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Good.
T-shirts, Golden Legend.
Get one of them, I guess.
Yeah, he's made a Shrinky Land T-shirt.
He has. You love it.
I do love it.
And what else was I going to say? If you do have an opinion on The Martian, send it through.
Yeah. Or a Martian theme song.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
That's the show for this week.
That is the show for this week. Hang on, anything else? Let me think. Thanks for listening. I don't know if we mentioned that enough.
We like it, don't we?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting bigger and better. Not better. Bigger. And better.
Not physically bigger. I mean, the file size is about the same.
Yes. Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our heads are getting larger, though.
Certainly.
Mm. We should probably get that looked at.
Why?
I think it's probably the paint on these walls. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. As usual, as always, grab that gem in your daily lives.
What was that catchphrase you showed me that somebody sent in?
Your new catchphrase.
One of them. I'm going to try out a few.
You're going to try out a few catchphrases. Okay, now. Okay, somebody put it on a Blockbusted Podcast at Blockbusted Pod. Send us a picture of a t-shirt. It says another iconic catchphrase for Mr. Sunday Movies. It's just a picture of you and it says none of this matters.
None of this matters. Hashtag. And that's true. That's true.
Nah, see, you didn't say it with a resignation that we'll try a different one next week.
None of this matters. No.
No, go with your standard one.
Where's the spaghetti?
Yay! Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.